All right, random thought.
Would you be okay with somebody using your toothbrush, or would you use someone else's toothbrush? And here's why I was just thinking about it.
Yeah, please explain this, because I'm not quite sure where this came from.
Well, I mean, the roads are all iced up. I can't leave the house, so I've just been in my thoughts all day, just sitting here doing nothing. And I don't know why I was thinking about that. It's like, I think it's disgusting to use someone else's toothbrush. I think it's just gross. But yet, you know, I would kiss a girl in the mouth, but I would not use her toothbrush, which goes into the same place, because that's just disgusting. And if somebody used my toothbrush, well, now I got to burn it. You know, I can't keep it. I got to burn it and start it over. You know, so just a random thing that popped in my head today. But would you be okay using, I mean, you're married. Could you use your wife's toothbrush?
Yes, I am married. And my wife and I are very close. We've definitely kissed each other. but we definitely have not used each other's toothbrush. I mean, I know we've come like, is that your toothbrush or mine? It's now neither. Toss that sumbitch away. On to the next. You know, and it's interesting because you will do amazing things to each other, but you won't use each other's toothbrush. And it's the same kind of thought process I think I have for if back in the dating days, if I ever went to go see somebody, and I can say this has never happened, but I've just seen on TV when people, you know, kiss their dog in the mouth and let the dog lick around all in it, like they're grabbing all the food from between the teeth or whatnot. Or let the, you know, tongue kissing, French kissing their dog. And I'm like, yeah, if I was dating a woman or just seeing a woman or just hanging out with a woman and I happen to go to her house and she slobs it up with a dog, there's no us after that.
But dogs have pretty clean mouths from what I understand. Like, I'll let a dog, like, lick me in the face because dogs are just so freaking cute. But I don't think I'd want, you know, their tongue. Dogs are the shit. You're a cat person, so you don't understand. Dogs are amazing. And so I totally would let a dog, you know, lick my face and all that. That's cool. I wouldn't, like, you know, I wouldn't let him lick in my mouth. I wouldn't do that after I just saw him licking his ass and then he's going to lick me in the mouth. No.
But so you're fine with his ass being all over your face, just not in your mouth.
Yeah, because I can usually just, you know, get a little sandy wipe, just wipe that off. You know, a little hand sanitizer, rub it on like aftershave, and I'm back in business. But it gets into my mouth. That's more personal. That's a little too personal. You know, I like to have boundaries between me and dogs.
Apparently not, because you're going to let them lick all over your face after they've licked their ass, licked another dog's ass, and now they can lick your face.
I think little it's doggy kisses. Little doggy kisses are the shit.
That whole the dog's mouth is the cleanest, is cleaner than anybody else. I've never seen a dog brush his teeth. I've never seen a dog use mouthwash, okay? So I'm not buying that shit. I think that was some dog lover that said that shit. I think PETA made that shit up. And they just made the shit up so that they can feel free to kiss a dog in the mouth.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if – I have no idea if a dog's mouth is really that clean. I know I just don't mind little doggy kisses on the outside. In the mouth, no. And even if if I had a dog and the dog got a hold of my toothbrush, I would still burn it. That wouldn't change. That would be kind of funny because I have an electric toothbrush and you see the dog's face when that thing starts going.
You'd be like, who's trying to clean my goddamn mouth?
What if the dog likes it? It's like, oh shit, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. It starts, you know, he starts hitting the back teeth and all that stuff, hitting his tongue. Maybe he just needs to be taught how to brush their teeth.
Oh, and then you kiss that dog in the mouth, huh? You've been waiting for a reason to kiss a dog in the mouth. That's what it is. You nasty fucker. Who are you? Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yachty Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and just overheard two people having crazy, stupid conversations?
Yeah, like this one. Jesus. But we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a comment.
Yes, and you know, as we get into the show, let's give some shout outs to some of our folks checking in on YouTube, like Bake Chocobo. I'm just guessing.
And I know you're butchering it.
Of course, I probably am. Here's one I won't butcher: Rebecca, Jasmine, Valerie, Regina, and Cherry Blossoms. See, 1 out of 15 isn't bad.
There you go. And then also, we have some new people following us on Facebook. Shout out to Trevor, Cassidy, Demetra, Ali, Martin, Amina, Hermela, Christine, AC, Edna, Doug, and Richard. Thank you guys for listening and liking our page and following us.
Yep, and also shout out to some folks checking in also on IG, Fitness Poppy, Unchatted Diva, I'm assuming that's how it goes, Mrs. Mary Moe, Only One Feisty Chris, Brum Philly 504, Pill and Jaded Show Pod, Clinton Robinson. What up, Clint? That's my dude right there, man. I'll see you in 2022, man, because I don't think 2021 we're going to make Jerkfest, so it'll probably be 2022 when we do that. And also Darren, a.k.a. Poppy Chocolate. I won't say his other nickname because I'm not sure if he's running for another office at any point soon, so we'll leave that one alone. We'll let him tell that story sometime later. Remember to like, subscribe, comment, share, leave a review. Just let us know if you agree or disagree, you know, anything that we're saying. So we love hearing from you, man, and we definitely want to hear from you. So be sure to check out the website as well, too. It is rgrtpod.com. Finally got it up. And funny story about that. I went to go get the domain name, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if I told you this. I went to go get the domain name, and I put in RGRTPod. I'm like, son of a bitch, somebody got it. So I went ahead and got RGRTPodcast.com. I'm like, all right, cool. Mm-hmm. Then I go into my account. Guess who got RGRTPod.com? This jackass.
Hey, you're doing too many things at once, man. You're so busy. You're moving a shaker. It happens. Don't worry about it.
So what made you smile this week, man?
Oh, this week, man, finally moved into my house.
Nice.
Moved in Friday. Just beat the ice storm, ice apocalypse, whatever we want to call it here in Austin. But got moved in, and you know me, I'm a planner. So I had everything set up to happen. And so I get in Friday night. My plan was to get everything unpacked, get all the boxes out. Mm-hmm. That way when the refrigerator and washer and dryer come in on Saturday, I'm good to go. I can take the boxes out. Mm-hmm. I was going to take them out to a dump and get rid of them. Well, you know, weather stopped that. But and I was expecting my dining room and living room furniture also to get delivered. Well, that's not going to happen until Tuesday. So I got the washer, dryer, refrigerator in. But other than that, downstairs, I have nowhere to sit or anywhere to eat on downstairs. So upstairs is where, like I said, I make something to eat downstairs, walk it upstairs, and sit there and eat and try not to get anything on my carpet.
Whoa, but it's been nice. Having to walk all the way upstairs to eat. Oh, whoa.
I know,
me.
Right? Yeah, I got it so hard. But it's just nice to finally have this done. I mean, you know, I've been in this process since, I think I put the contract on like mid-September. Mm-hmm. So to finally like actually move in, and all that. Yeah, I was smiling ear to ear for the past 48 hours.
Well, congratulations, man. Real happy for you on that one. No, it's a great feeling. And I'm just a little upset with you for knowing the weather was going to be this bad, not planning for them to move in, like even today. Because had you just videoed that and we put it up on YouTube, you know how many views would have gotten of them trying to skate their way in the house with all your stuff? People love that kind of shit.
Yeah. I had some people like they just canceled. Like, hey, we're not gonna be able to make it out. It's gonna be next week, so my security won't get set up till next week. But luckily, there was no ice damage, you know, anything for them to have to worry about in their big truck. So at least I got what I needed. The refrigerator was huge because I needed to have water and ice because I couldn't make it to the store. So I really don't have anything in that refrigerator. But other than that, man, it's been a good week. It's been a good weekend. So I smiled a lot. Well, what about you?
So, of course, we're recording this on Sunday, which is Valentine's Day. I decided I'm going to, you know, my wife and I were talking about this probably about a week or two ago about the fact that she's like, I miss going out, miss going on dates. And I'm like, yeah, you know, but we are not going. While some people are pretending like there isn't a pandemic, we're not going out and bringing that stuff back in the house. So, since we can't go out to eat, I decided to go to one of her favorite restaurants. I can't say it's her actual favorite restaurant, but it's one of the top five, right? So I went there to do that Valentine's special where you go pick up the food. Funny, you bring it home and then you cook it. Which is fine. It's fine because it's about an hour away. So I had to drive an hour to go get it, hour back. And I remember right before I left, she's like, hey, don't go downstairs. Okay. So I leave, I come back, and finally, you know, get everything done. And she goes, are you going to go downstairs? I'm like, yeah, I have work to do down there, and we got to record a podcast. She said, okay. So is everything out of the way that I can go down? She's like, yeah, go ahead. So I come downstairs. I see a bow on my chair, right? I'm like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And then I look in the chair. There's, you know, this envelope that has mm-hmm. a card in it. And the card's back here. And I'm reading the card, open the card, go through the entire thing. It's only when I get to the very end of the card, and it's not because there's anything in there that says it, but I notice mm-hmm. that's not my damn chair. She had bought me a whole new chair. What's so crazy about this? My wife is so good at giving gifts. It's like I had planned on getting a new chair. Mm-hmm. I never told her that. Mm. And she just got me something I needed, which was a new chair. So, you know, that really made me smile.
Is that what happens when you get married? It's like mind reading abilities. It's like, he wants a chair. I got this.
Women have that. I'll be honest with you, Terrell. I don't know. It didn't happen for me. And we can do a poll with married men, and any married men listening right now, or married women, you can tell us if your husband has that mind reading ability, and exactly what point in the marriage did that come in? Because I'm still waiting for that. Because I got to figure that part out. my skills have got to be elevated because hers are on point.
I doubt I'll get those skills. I doubt I'll get that. I'm not a good listener as it is. So then. Mind reading, I just don't see that happen.
See, I can't listen, and I'm damn sure not going to read your mind.
I don't listen well because I'm always kind of multitasking. So, yeah, I'll hear it, be like, yeah, we talked about that yesterday. We did? I'm
doing that. See, and this is why we're friends, because I think I do that quite a bit. The other thing, there's the fact that last week we were on Single in the City, that's Chelsea's podcast. And
yep, what's up, Chelsea?
Yeah, what up, Chelsea? Great time on there. And some of the things that were on there was she asked about the song. And I was like, I mean, I said, well, we don't have a song. I went back to my wife and like, hey, so we don't have a song, do we? We just talked about this whole memory thing, right? And she's like, mm-hmm. no. I'm like, okay, that's what I thought. And then what popped up in mind, too, was also the conversation we had about titles. And I remember asking, mm-hmm. I'm like, hey, so when we were just dating and I was introducing you, I never introduced you as my girlfriend, right? She goes, no. I said, well, what did I say? She said, you didn't. You didn't have give a title. I'm like, well, did that bother you? She goes, yeah.
So, wait, I don't need mind reading or listening skills to know what that noise means. Well, I know what that means.
This is how I know my mind reading skills are there, because I'm oblivious to the fact, and when it's happening, I'm oblivious to the fact that this was some sort of issue, right? So anyway, yeah. Even to the point that I said, well, okay, so after we're engaged, no, she said, even after we're engaged, I said, I didn't introduce you to my fiance, right? She goes, no. And then I had to really think about it. I'm like, wait a minute. We weren't telling anybody, right? Anything. Mm-hmm. It's just like, those mm-hmm. who know, those who don't, it's none of their goddamn business. And mm-hmm. this is where I think that mind reading thing comes in. Because I'm not going to introduce you to just everybody as my fiance if we're not telling anybody. But what I did mm-hmm. notice, and I found this out after we were married, months after, is that women have a rollout plan for guys, right? We don't know this. And okay. Ladies, correct me if I'm wrong, but women have a rollout plan of when they're going to announce you to their friends, outside of their close friends, to everybody. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes it's after you're married, sometimes after you're engaged, and sometimes after you've been together for a couple months. But they have a rollout plan, and they know it. You know, I think it was a meme on Facebook or Instagram that was like, "Hey, I'm just gonna pop up one day with a husband and three kids." So women have this rollout plan that we know nothing about, and but yeah.
Well, you're trying to still ignore the fact that. When she was your girlfriend, y'all weren't keeping that secret. You still didn't introduce her as your girlfriend. That's what the Chelsea conversation was about.
But it's not. I'm leaving it alone.
You lost last time with Chelsea. Do I need to get her in?
No.
Can we ping her and add her to this call real quick?
No.
Hey Chelsea, you got 5 minutes? I need backup.
I don't need to lose this argument again. I was not fine losing it the first time. I'm definitely not fine losing it the second time.
Okay.
You know what? On that note, let's move on to the next segment.
All right. Politics as usual.
Oh, yes, please. Come on, Donald Trump, save me.
Yeah. Well, his Republican saved him.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole impeachment deal, I've been annoyed about it from the very beginning. I understand it. And do I think that he's guilty? Yep. But I just knew there was no way he was going to get impeached again. And Republicans weren't going to vote for it. I'm like, this is going to be a huge waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a huge show. And it's funny. It's like, I don't even understand what happened, because his lawyers started out and they were just a hot mess. Right. So you're like, okay, Democrats, what do you got? And Democrats came in hitting home runs, person after person, you know, playing the tapes and all these different things, and all the data and stuff that they had. You see Mitt Romney running for his life. You see them hustling to take Mike Pence out. And then you have McCarthy, who had talked to Trump, telling him, you need to call this off. You need to go on Twitter, and Trump didn't do it. And then they wind up getting acquitted. I'm like, I knew it.
Yeah.
Knew it was going to happen, but it was a huge waste of taxpayer dollars. All these people working on a Saturday, all for nothing.
Yeah, and you, like you said, you kind of knew this was going to happen just because the political game is what it is. And they lost by 10 votes, right? Because mm-hmm. I think it had to be a 67 yay, or, and it was only 57.
Yep.
Kind of knew that was going to happen, because there are a couple of people that changed their mind, but they're never going to be enough to make it happen. And
right.
We can argue that the argument that the Democrats had were what was somewhat weak, and they could have actually gone even deeper and started with the fact that he refused to acknowledge the legitimacy of, and kept questioning the legitimacy of the election.
Election.
And really putting at risk the entire Democratic process and, you know, eroding any faith in it. But does, based on his followers and people following this crazy scheme. But at the same time, even if they went that route, I think we still have this exact same case.
Yeah.
This exact same result. I think nothing changes in that sense, because those who don't, they're too worried about losing their positions, their own positions, if they go against Trump. And those who did vote against him could possibly lose their seats, because you're seeing this division in the Republican Party. You know, you've got the rhinos and you've got the Trumpers. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens in 2 years in the midterm elections, and then what happens in 2024. I think it's going to be a shit show worth watching. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, like we've said before on this show, politicians, they're always running for office.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so you got these people that, even though they totally, they probably agree that Trump was guilty, but they're looking at his base of all these people. I can't piss off all this group of folks, because I need their votes. Right. So at least they can say, hey, well, I voted to acquit. So it's annoying. It's a mess. But it's what we expect. And it's what we see in the political atmosphere. And to your point, in 2 years, I'm curious to see what's going to happen with some of those Republican seats. I think they're still going to keep them, you know, in a lot of cases. But it was just still a big, big shit show. And I'm surprised at the people that were surprised, right? and when I say that, this is the first time where there's video evidence of something happening and people got off, right? It's not the first time.
At all.
But I mean, it's just, I just didn't expect him to get impeached. Now, and a lot of people don't, you know, they wanted that to happen. That way he couldn't run again in 2024.
Yeah.
How old will he be in 2024? Won't he be, what, 81?
81, 82.
82? Yeah, 82, because he's, what, 78 right now?
Mm-hmm.
That dude ain't running in 2024. I mean, just stop it. I just don't believe that's going to happen.
I am not surprised if he does, though. And
I don't see that happening.
4 years
is a lot to age a person. I mean, it's a lot. It's one thing if you're 40 to 44. 78 to 82, that's a huge difference. I mean, that's that a lot can change in your life in those 4 years.
Let me tell you why I have to counter you on this. Because most presidents, that first 4 years, they age dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
He was so I don't give a fuck. that he did not age. He might have actually gotten younger those 4 years he was in office.
I mean, no, nope. I would say here's what I would push back. Because he is a reality show personality and all that,
mm-hmm.
he had some great makeup people that took care of him. Because that's what he's always done when he's going on TV. So he really looked the same. You know, Obama wouldn't really worry about all that. George Bush wouldn't worry about all that. Bill Clinton wasn't worried about that. Bill Clinton went through a lot mm-hmm. in those 8 years. But I think he had a whole lot of makeup and all that stuff to help him keep looking the same look because he has so much vanity. So I think he wouldn't let himself look like he was getting older, even if he was. Just like, you know, he didn't let us know how sick he really was with COVID mm-hmm. When he got it. You know, but now we know otherwise that he was in pretty bad shape. So,
but this is also the guy that said had a doctor say that he was the most the fittest president ever. Yet he's the only president we've never seen out for a jog. Now we know that was all for photo op, but still at the same time, I'm just like But you know, it's an interesting article I saw and this notification that came across says it's on CNN where they talk about the GOP, and I think it's a problem that they're going to have, which is acquitting Trump and then welcoming Marjorie Taylor Greene. It's like you said, they're not going to, you don't think they're going to lose their seats. I think they just swap out people. It's what happened with the Tea Party. If you're not going to come as far right as we want you to, we'll replace you with somebody else. And I think that's what they fear. And they go, well, let me go ahead and still do this. So Trump's influence, I think, lasts moving forward on the Republican Party regardless. And what's so crazy to me, this is why I think the Democrats don't have the spine that the Republicans do, is that if Trump were a Democratic president doing the things that he did, he wouldn't have made the four terms, the four years of his term anyway. And there's no way that he doesn't get impeached. I mean, they impeached Bill Clinton for getting a blowjob and lying about it so his wife wouldn't find out. Okay? You're going to tell me that they went, oh, well, what Trump did wasn't that bad. He literally tried to say the democratic process doesn't work. If I lose, it's because it doesn't work because they're cheating. But he started off that way. I'm not surprised. You're right. Nobody should be surprised. Like when they go January 6th, this is not who we are. Are you sure? Have you been looking in the mirror at any point in time? Because if you look in the mirror, you will see that this has been America for a long time. And when you look at Trump, this has been him the entire time. So it wasn't this 2020 election when he's like, oh, well, if I lose, it's because it was rigged. He said that in 2016 from the very beginning. The only way I lose is if they cheat.
Yeah. You know, I hear what you're saying. And I think that's the problem with Democrats. It's all about the far left bleeding liberal types. And if you listen to a lot of the speeches during this impeachment trial and all that, Democrats were going straight for the feels, right? And a lot of what they were saying, it was all trying to pull at the heartstrings, where Republicans were using logic and not getting their feelings involved into it, even though they didn't agree that. I think that's the problem. I think Democrats, they're not going to come in hardcore and make a whole bunch of stuff happen because that's just not their MO. And that's what they need to do. Like, to me, if you have all these Democrats in, why not start just making shit happen? You know, Trump didn't ask permission. Yeah, we're going to do this. Well, y'all don't want to do it. We're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Do the same thing. But that's just not their MO. And so that's what's going to hold them back on trying to accomplish some of the things that I think they want to try to push through. It's going to be an interesting political season, you know, across the board, just to see how well people try to play nice and work across party lines, if that really is going to happen. And then how much that is going to be Biden Harris just saying, well, y'all don't want to work together. We're doing it anyway. you know, just see how much that stuff pans out. So it'll be interesting. I'm curious to see how this is going to play out. It's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be fun to watch, I think, in this case, because it's not the shit show soap opera that we had for 4 years. This is going to be fun to watch because it's actually partly educational, but also really interesting to see what they're going to do. Not so much, what the hell is this person going to say next?
You know, when you talk about people being in their feels, and in their feels, as in their feelings, it's one person comes to mind, especially when you're speaking politics, and that's Brother Van Jones.
Yep.
And he is back in his feelings again. Not crying on TV this time, but it is about an appearance on TV. And he was on The View. And mm-hmm. what happened in this one here?
So he was on The View, and they were, I think he has some kind of deal, some kind of partnership or book deal that he had, and somehow Meghan McCain is involved, I think. Anyway, is it Sherry?
Sonny.
Sonny. Mm-hmm. Sonny asked him a question, pretty much saying how he's been caught saying all these different things because he does, I don't want to say he plays both sides, but it's the politics game. Mm-hmm. And she made the comment that Black Americans feel like they can't trust you. And you could tell that lit a fire under him where he was just like, what? You know, then he started going down, I've done this. And it was an interesting exchange, but he got a little heated, you know, behind that by her making that comment.
Well, Van Jones has a reason to be heated because people have always tried to question his blackness anyway, right? He stands up for Black America quite a bit on CNN. He's got to take that role. And then people still question because he was married to a white woman for, I want to say 14 years. They just got divorced, I think, in 2019. And not like that's any reason to doubt any part, because he's still a black man growing up in this country. That's not.
Then why'd you bring it up?
I'm not bringing it up, asshole. I'm telling you why he was in his feelings, goddammit. So it's like the fact that they're going, oh, Black America doesn't trust you. Why would they say that? And why would she say that? And is she really speaking for all of Black America, or is it some people in Black America? And if she says, mm-hmm. I don't trust you, I and some people I know in the Black community don't trust you, then that's a little more accurate, yep. as opposed to making this, like, she went for the shock value of it. Well, Black America doesn't, people in the Black community don't trust you. How can you say that? And like you pointed out, he's done a lot. When he has, the fact that he has to run down his resume is crazy. Because he's done quite a bit that he's not just out there standing on a rooftop bragging about it. He's not taking out the cell phone every time he's handing out change to a homeless person. He's mm-hmm. actually the one in the trenches doing work.
Yeah, and he partners with a whole bunch of people across both sides. So he mm-hmm. does a whole lot with Democrats. He works with a whole lot of Republicans as well. And I agree with you. She shouldn't have made the comment that, you know, a lot of people in the Black community don't, you know, trust you. Because that's not true. She's not surveyed a lot of people. Then what's a lot? Is it the five people you talked to at the hair salon? Or did you actually go out and do a poll? And she did it. But for him to get offended, the way he responded, I felt he should have came a little bit... I think he could have came a little bit harder with that and not seem so defensive. Mm-hmm. Because then when you get defensive, then it looks like what she said was right. And it wasn't. And he could easily say, well, that's interesting. Sonny, I haven't heard that. I would love to get some of the data that you on the research that you did on that, or like how many people are we talking about? And then that would put her on the defensive to be like, oh, well, you know what I was saying? It's like, okay, so it's not all the Black community. It's the small people that you talk to. Well, I can't speak to that, but here's my resume. Here's what I've done. But she called out the fact that he made a comment about Donald Trump doesn't get enough credit for the good things that he's done and all that. And it was a brief part of something that he had said. It wasn't the whole exchange or the whole interview that he had did when he made that comment. And that was his point. You can't take a little soundbite that's edited and then use that to speak for my whole career. But I do think that Van Jones could use a good PR person, because I think a lot more people should know some of the things that he's doing. He shouldn't have to wait till it comes on his resume. I don't follow him on Twitter or Insta, and maybe I should. Maybe I'll look at this page and just kind of follow it. Maybe I'll see more. Mm-hmm. But if he did some of that, maybe that would help. Because if he's going on The View, someone on The View, you know, those producers and people behind the scenes, they're looking at his stuff.
Yeah.
And they could easily say, like, hey, Sonny, you don't want to, this question you have right here, I need to send you a couple links. I don't think you want to ask that question.
Well, I don't think, well, obviously Meghan McCain didn't know that they were going to ask that question either, because I think it's a documentary they're working on or they have coming out, and she's producing it or something like that. But either way, even still, so a couple of things here. And Van Jones saying people shouldn't just automatically discredit the good that Donald Trump has done. Yes, I agree in that sense. he has done some things for those who were released from prison, and especially the prison reform he's done for some incarcerated black people, what he's done for HBCUs. Yes, yep. Great. But it's not going to excuse all the other racist shit that he's done over the years. I'm not going to excuse him because you did this, because it goes back to old D.L. Hewley joke. You know, it's the you know, the uncle that sent you to jail, but he molested you as a child. I mean, he sent you to college, but he molested you as a child. So, no, I'm not going to excuse all the other shit you've done because you did one or two good things. At the same mm-hmm. time, Van was upset and all in his feelings and saying he felt ambushed. Van, you do news, you interview, you do TV, you know how this works. You yep. can't be mad because you thought it was going to be softball questions.
Yeah.
Always prepare yourself. Just like it's like when Jesse Jackson got caught on a hot mic saying he wanted to cut Obama's balls off, and it's like, yo, you've been doing this way too long to think that nobody's recording you 110% of the times that mic is close to you. Once that mic is mm-hmm. on you, you know they're recording, whether you're live mm-hmm. or not, they're recording. So mm-hmm. if you want to spout some crazy shit and you got a mic on, that's on you. Van, you're going to go in these TV shows. Don't be mad when they ask you the questions that if the roles were reversed, you would have asked.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't feel any sympathy for him. But at least he didn't cry. So, I mean, there's that. You know, so.
Glass half full.
He wasn't on The View. Yeah, so he wasn't on there crying. So that's good. But, no, I'm with you. He should have been better prepared for that. But I think as someone who interviews a lot of people and also ask people some of these tough questions.
Yep.
I think he could have easily countered that and put the spotlight back on her instead of it being on him.
Exactly. And good thing he didn't cry, because Whoopi would have had to tell him, Van, man the fuck up. Hey, don't forget to watch The Bachelor tonight, man. Or you can skip it and catch our Black Bachelor recaps. And we'll let you know what happened. You know, like who won the episode and predict who's going to get the boot next.
Yes, join in the conversation by commenting on any of the clips for the Bachelor recaps. You can agree, you can disagree, or you can agree to disagree with Yanni, because what I'm saying is normally going to be right. Oh, you'll also be put in the running for a monthly giveaway on our Regular Guys Random Giveaway. So definitely listen, comment, subscribe, follow along with us. It's painful. This is so hard for me to do, but I'm sticking to it, man of my word. I'm watching it.
And me being the great friend that I am to you, I'm sticking by your side watching this bullshit-ass show and giving these mm-hmm. Regular Guy Random Thoughts podcasts Black Bachelor recaps. Every Tuesday on YouTube, just search RGRT Pod and be sure to like, subscribe, and hit that bell for notifications. Now let's get back to the show. You know what? Before we get back to the show, I want to say this. After The Bachelor's over, you've got to watch one of my reality shows, because I love watching reality TV, right?
Wait. Why are we doing this tit for tat kind of thing? Where'd that come from?
Oh, no, it's just friendship. The bad thing is, here's the bad thing. I wish this season of Married at First Sight was not starting until after this one of The Bachelor, because this has been a great, I would have loved to get your take on Chris and Paige. And if anybody's watching that is watching Married at First Sight or listening and is watching Married at First Sight, oh, my God. You'd love to hear what Terrell had to say about it. And he's never seen Married at First Sight. So we'll probably wait till the next season of Married at First Sight and do that one. I can see that you're excited. I can't wait. Black Bachelor recaps right now. Married at First Sight next. Yes.
I'm a hard maybe. Put me in a maybe cup.
Some bullshit. All right, you know what? Let's get back to the show, damn it. As we're doing these Black Bachelor recaps, I will honestly say this. I think that we are, and of course, we're affectionately calling it the Black Bachelor Recaps. It's really The Bachelor. But we picked a great season to this, not only because, one, you've got the first Black Bachelor, but also there's so much shit happening. Like, last week, I said, hey, let's talk about this Rachel Kirk Connell thing. And you're like, it's really there's nothing there. And then this past week happened. And apparently there's more there than we thought a week ago.
Well, Chris Harrison went on an interview with this other girl, Rachel, who was a previous bachelorette on the show.
Yeah, Rachel Lindsay, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so she's an African-American woman, and she was asking Chris Harrison about these things that came up with the other Rachel mm-hmm. that's on the show. And pretty much it's, you know, there's some Facebook comments that she liked that had the Confederate flag in it. And then she went to some school, and their sorority did some type of I forget what type of party
plantation antebellum party. Yeah. So there was, a theme party for plantations. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they did this whole deal. And so Chris Harrison was speaking to that, and he was like, yeah, but I don't think you punish this person for something they did a long time ago. And then Rachel was like, well, no, this was in 2018.
Yeah. He thought it was 5 years ago.
Yeah. He goes, yeah, but I understand that. He goes, but you gotta look at it. We're in a different climate than we are right now, you know? And so these type of issues weren't a big issue in 2018, the way it is in 2020, 2021. And this is why it's bad. And she was just like, no, a lot of people were commenting on that. Like, no, racism was a big deal in 2018 too. Like, it didn't just happen. This isn't a new thing that just came up, because of George Floyd. Like, this has been going on. And so after he gets done with the interview, apparently, Rachel is really upset, but she's trying to hold it together because it's TV and it's business. And so he tells her, hey, you know, it's a great show. I think I'm probably going to ruffle some feathers with that other one, but we'll be all right. Well, of course, he ruffled feathers, and then, Twitter starts going off and everybody gets set. So then he issues like an apology.
Oh, boy.
Apology tour, which was really weak and bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, I said some things that I wasn't as informed as I should have been, and da-da-da-da. Which I don't understand how people can say I wasn't informed that racism was a big deal in 2018. no one told me. And so now I think he's going to be stepping away from the show. And so I'm like, I'm really interested in this story because I don't think he should step away from the show.
Well, okay, so two things here. One, I think I love quoting comedy just because it's timeless sometimes, right? And this just reminds me, his comment about, oh, well, it wasn't that big of a deal in 2018 as it is now, goes back to Dave Chappelle killing him softly when he goes, apparently, have you seen this, honey? Apparently, they've been killing Negroes like hotcakes. Mm-hmm. it's about, this is based in, early 2000s, he's talking about the 90s, I think it was, right? And it's one of those things where Chris Harrison, in his mind, racism doesn't exist because of the bubble that he's living in, right? Mm-hmm. So he doesn't understand that racism is actually a thing and it's real. Not excusing him for that because, dude, seriously, we're in America. It's right there. This is not new. This has been going on for decades. What people are talking about now, George Floyd was not new to us. But it was new to a lot of people. And that's the one thing. I think he put his foot in his mouth a number of times in trying to defend her. But I didn't see all the pictures from this plantation party. But now if they had somebody dressed up like Aunt Jemima serving the drinks and all that stuff, I can really get that part. As far as if they're dressed up for the time period and it's a mm-hmm. party on a plantation. I was in Charleston. Charleston has plantations. They are friggin' mm-hmm. new neighborhoods with the name Plantation. I'm not the person that gets upset over every little thing, because if we got to do that, then we got to really start taking a look in the mirror and start with our hip hop artists and with our own people and stop saying certain words at the same time. So if we're going to go down that road, let's look in the mirror at the same time. Right. So I just think that he really put his foot in his mouth in this sense. Do I think he should step down? I understand why he is. I'm not saying he should, but I understand why he is. And it's probably not on him, and I'm sure he's getting a great package to step away, and he's probably just stepping away as the face and still be working somewhere in there at some point. And I could be absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
But Chris Harrison is going to be fine. He's got a lot of money, and he's getting paid a lot to walk away from this.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, here's why I don't think I don't think he should step away. So this apology that he did, Rachel was upset because she thought like this apology was weak. But mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, he still apologized. But he just didn't apologize in a way that made her feel it was acceptable. And so now that keeps causing the controversy and the stir. So I think that's one issue of it. The other part is, I agree. I think he's probably going to step away from maybe being the face of it. But I'm like, dude, he apologized. Let's just move on. You know, I mean, what he said was really not that bad, in my opinion. I get it. But it's not like he was, it wasn't like, what's his name? Imus, Don Imus, when he was like nappy-headed hoes. He didn't say that. You know what I mean? So I just don't see that big deal. And then when I look at the Rachel that's on the show now, so we've all been around, we've seen a lot of these different sororities and fraternity houses. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these people, even though they're young, they're stupid, they join these organizations. Now, some of those organizations have racist history. Yeah. I have a black friend of mine that joined a predominantly white fraternity, and his chapter, everything was cool. He was welcomed and all that was great. And then years later, a different chapter was caught singing all these really racial chants about how they won't let black people into their fraternity, but you're using the N-word. Mm-hmm. But all of them are singing it. He had nothing to do with that. Right now, if I don't know what Rachel did at that party, if be one thing if she showed up there in blackface and all that, right? We don't really know. She was just in the group picture, is what was seen. She's in this huge group picture, and it's one of those huge sororities where there's looks like probably 100 of them, you know, there. So, I mean, I just look at that, and I'm just like, young people do stupid shit in college. Mm-hmm. Get it? Could she have grown? Could she have changed from that point? Yeah. Surely could have. I just look at that. I just don't see the big deal. I understand the context. I understand why the Rachel that was given the interview would feel upset about it. But Chris apologized. Yeah. And it was apology tour. The network was like, dude, you got to apologize.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, he didn't mean it, but that happens all the time. Right? It happens all the time. And if Rachel were to say something bad, where she gets a whole bunch of people on Twitter upset, which is the problem with this. It's not so much, you know, it's just the fact that you get a lot of hype, right? And if you get enough Twitter followers to go in and comment and people posting videos, it creates this huge uproar.
Yeah.
Now you got to apologize. And these people are all going to forget about it, you know, within the next 24, 48 hours, because there's going to be some other news thing that happens. And they've forgotten all about it. So I'm just like, let's just dial this back a little bit. I think we're being a little too sensitive.
I can't believe I'm about to say this because this sounds like I'm going back on one of the initial stories that we talked about that actually led to us starting this podcast, which is at what point do we forgive people, right? And I say even in the forgiving, is we ask people to change, right? Mm-hmm. And like you just said, she was in college at the time doing stupid shit, and you've seen that all the time. I've seen people do stupid shit. We've all done stupid shit. Maybe not racist stupid shit, but we've all done stupid shit. At the same time, if we ask people to change, do we allow them to? Or do we keep digging up their past? Because Lord knows, you don't want anybody digging up your past all the time. I don't want anybody digging up my past, because you can, and you can, because, well, you did this. Okay, yeah. I don't do that anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when do we allow people to actually grow and evolve? Because you at 21 is not you at 31. It's not you at 41. Right. And I remember I said this to my barber once. I'm like, would you hang out with 21-year-old you? He was like, hell no. I'm like, neither would I. Because that dude was an asshole. Now, this guy.
We had so much fun. But we had so much fun.
We sure did. Like,
if 21-year-old us was any different, we wouldn't be doing this right now.
Yeah, but let's be honest. 21-year-old you wouldn't listen to you now.
Yeah, but I wouldn't listen to any 21-year-old. I mean, if I met Barack Obama when he was 21, I'd be like, yeah, shut up.
And that's the
think
point.
Think you smarter than everybody? What? You know, but you're right. People don't give people a chance to be able to grow and change. Mm-hmm. And the reason is it wasn't done in a way that was good for them.
Right.
Right. They're not sold on it. Whatever. Now, if you see somebody that's posting a bunch of racist stuff in January, and then all of a sudden Black History Month, they're like, oh, I didn't know. You still need a little bit more time. You know, but if you're pulling up some posts that they did 3 or 4 years ago, and now you see what they've done, and you're like, well, I saw this that you posted 4 years ago, you're racist. It's not always true. You don't really know. Now, could they be racist? Possibly. But then how is it that you have people that were in prison, that were members of the Aryan Brotherhood in prison, that come out of prison, and now they're freaking public speakers talking about how, you know, we got to be unity and we're all equal and all that type of stuff. Are you going to look at them and be like, you were in jail for 10 years, you're full of shit? No, but with those people get a pass all the time.
By the way, two words. Drew Brees. January, February. Okay, so I just want to point that out. It wasn't even a month. It was a day, 24 hours, when he switched his entire stance on the flag, on kneeling, yeah, during the national anthem.
His stance on kneeling. And to me, he can have that stance all he wants. To me, I've never cared. If people want to, people get mad, people kneel, I don't give a shit. I'm not there to watch the national anthem. I am logging, putting it on the TV to watch the game. I don't give a shit. Kneel, stand, whatever. You do your thing, whatever you feel right about. To me, Drew Brees felt like people should still stand for the flag, and he has that right to feel that way. He only changed it because it pissed a lot of people off. And, you know, his teammates got pissed off. And I'm like, we could be on the same team. I don't have to kneel because you're kneeling. I respect why you're kneeling, but I want to do this because this is what I like to do for myself. And I've been fine with that all along. I think anybody saying one or the other to me is wrong. You got the right to do what you want. So I had no issue with Drew Brees backpedaling. I didn't like him apologize. I'm like, just you said what you said. And then let's move on. Let's play football. And like, just shut the noise down and stop talking about it. Yeah. That was what I didn't like. It's like, don't apologize. You said it.
Yeah. I didn't like that. Here's one thing I didn't like. The fact that he backpedaled in 24 hours, which was quick turnaround. And what I also didn't like was the fact that you kind of, you know, you're like, hey, you gave him that pass to go past it when he went on the apology tour in less than 24 hours. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah, I sure did. I was like, yeah, Drew, we're good.
That's because he's the quarterback of your team. That's why.
Exactly. But I don't watch Drew Brees for patriotism. I want to see him throw a ball. That's all I care about. And this year, he couldn't do that well.
Just throw
the
damn ball.
And this is why we're – that's all I care about. I don't care anything about your policies, your philosophy, anything, your religious preference. Just play the damn game, right? And so if he feels that NFL players should stand for the national anthem, great. He has the right to feel that way and to think that. We shouldn't make him say, well, no, actually, I see their point. I think they really should. No, dude, you keep your view the way you want it. Don't change. I hate when people sway their opinion of what they really believe because, A, I don't think he really believes that. I just think that was just to kind of shut everybody up to say that. I don't think he really believes it. But
yeah.
Those are, to me, a little bit apples to apples between should you kneel and stand for the flag. It's not apples to apples. Kneel and stand for the flag. And then also somebody that did racist posts or liked racist posts or attended some type of racist party of some kind. Now, I'm curious, though, when you think about these plantation parties, I don't like going to white trash parties. I don't like those.
Yeah.
Because I would never dress as white trash. I mean, obviously. But...
No white face.
But
Terrell.
I feel those are offensive. Yeah. In my opinion, I think those are offensive to do that. But no one ever pulls up those clips and pictures of people and make a big issue of it.
Like those are bad theme parties anyway. The theme parties when they do the white trash parties or the ghetto parties and you know when they all you know. So I've never been a fan of any of those anyway. They're not my thing. Hell, dress up parties are just not my thing in the first place. So you know, but that's a whole another story because I'm not one of those people. So
yeah, we should talk about that on a random thought one day.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's going to be something that's going to come up once people go back to partying, colleges, and everybody get back to social gatherings. There's going to be some type of party that happens. We're going to be like, we're talking about that.
Yeah, because, you know, it's guaranteed every year somebody does something stupid. Well, we didn't know. Just like every Halloween, somebody's going to be in blackface. We didn't know. Shut up. You know. You just said, let's see if I can get away with it. Let's see if I can go viral. Like somebody who tried to go viral in this bullshit at the Super Bowl. Now, first of all, when I'm wrong, I admit it. I thought Patty Mahomes was going to derail Tom Brady, and apparently TB12 is the new Barry Bonds formula for for aging. And he showed up, he showed out, and he won big. Well, somebody else that was trying to win big was this guy who was the Super Bowl streaker, right? It was a different kind of streaking because basically he ran out on the field, he took off his shirt, he's still out on his pants, kind of pulled him down a bit, and he was wearing, I guess, I didn't know there was such a name for it. I found it out on one of my calls. It's a mankini, right?
A mankini.
Yes.
Okay.
A man's bikini.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good dough.
Yeah, whatever. But he's wearing this, and I love the memes about the fact that, you know, Tampa Bay got in the end zone 4 times, he got in once, and the Chiefs got in 0 times.
Hey, but did you see him getting away from those refs? I mean, the dude has some moves. He did a nice little spin move. Yeah, he ran for like 100 yards.
Got tackled at the 1-yard line.
So
here's the replay. We're looking at that, by the way, just to divert just a little bit. When they said he got to the end zone, he didn't. Because that security guard that tackled him has been waiting his whole life since high school that Al Bundy got that tackle right before he got to the end zone. So he got tackled before the end zone. Technically, he did not get in the end zone. He rolled in after. He was already down. But the other point is that, you know, he had on this Vitaly Uncensored, which is supposed to be about his website, whatnot. But it comes out later that he was released on like $500 bond, right? And somebody did an interview with him, and he said that he was going to make $370,000. And then goes on to explain how. Like, this, I'm going to make a lot of money on this because there was a prop bet about somebody streaking at the Super Bowl. I did this. I put about $50,000 down, had some other people place those bets, and there are other people who place other bets, and I'd get this money. Well, idiot, don't do it. And then talk about it. You do not.
Yeah.
You do realize you can't hedge bets and then think that you're going to just talk about it and get away with it.
Yeah.
So, of course, they go, those bets are no good. Anybody who had prior knowledge, they don't get their winnings. Anybody who didn't, they'll still get their winnings. And anybody who lost, because this guy, what he did was he diluted this bet in that case, in this prop bet. Mm-hmm. By forcing it to happen, in the sense of his knowledge of the fact that there was a prop bet on it. Now, those people who lost their money, they get their money back. So, good news for them. Mm. But for him, that $370 he was going to get, that's no more.
Yeah. That's just stupid. I mean, if you got to do dirt, you got to do a crime, shut your mouth. You don't talk about it. And that's why you don't do dirt with a whole bunch of people. He could have just easily... took a mortgage out, second mortgage on his home, something, and dropped $50,000 on it, and then went and did it, didn't say anything, take the money, and you're fine. But you get a whole bunch of other people in on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's too many folks. You know, if I ever wanted to go into life of crime, if I had a partner, it'd be one person. And every time, I'd be like, you know, I'll kill you, right? Like, I'll take you out first if I have to. But that's just stupid. You know, and just the whole thing, you know, I can't stand when you have these streakers that go out there and do that. It ruins the game. It's a safety concern. I don't understand how these people always get through somehow. Like, you would think this happens every year. Why wouldn't security just have that extra layer to protect? And I get this time it was a little bit easier because of social distancing and COVID, but I just get tired of seeing these people going out there ruining the game.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest. It only ruined about 3 minutes. And... If
but it's a well-talked-about 3 minutes that has gotten a whole lot of traction, and we're talking about it on the show. We didn't even give a recap of the game.
There's no recap to give. Tampa Bay got Tampa Bay won, and I need to point this out because my Uncle Nigel, he last year, he's a big Tampa Bay fan. Right? He lives in Tampa Bay. He's a huge Tampa Bay fan. Last year, when it was Tampa Bay versus San Francisco at the start of the season, he had a lot of shit to talk before the game. Mm. When the game was over, he went silent for the entire season. Wouldn't say shit. I mean, because, you know, I'm a horrible winner. When I win, I'm going to talk my shit. So I talk shit after that game. And he went silent for the entire season. He did not even message me or talk football at all until the Super Bowl was over and we had lost to the Chiefs. Then he had something to say. I'm like... Oh, really? So this year when Tampa Bay won, I sent him a text message to go, congratulations. And he's like, thank you. Now that's how you're supposed to do it. That's called sportsmanship. That's how you do it. You sore loser. Jesus Christ.
Hey, we've all been there. I would like to think I'm not a sore loser, but I kind of am.
Yeah.
I can just play it off. I can fake it. You know, no, I'll be like, hey, good game. But like under my breath, I'm like, I hate your guts.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've
explained. Or you just conveniently forget like the fact that the 49ers not the Saints out of the playoffs last year, and you completely
are you sure
got that?
Are you sure that happened?
So onto this next bullshit. a place that you've visited, I've never gone, and I'm not quite sure I will be going. Utah. Little issue in the schools up there.
It was the school where I think you had parents that didn't want their kids to go through the whole Black History curriculum that they had planned for the month of February.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to opt out of their kids going through that. And I remember you brought that to my attention. I remember seeing it, and I was just like, okay, this is an interesting story. Because I'm like, I bet there's not a lot of Black people there. Just my gut. Not a lot of Black people there.
So I end up going and digging into this story. And interesting thing is that you had a couple, well, they didn't say how many. They said some parents. They wouldn't say how many parents wanted to opt out, right, of this Black History Month curriculum. And the principal then sends a note to everybody in the school giving them the option to opt out, which just – of course, set off other parents and triggered everybody to say, what the hell? And so now he gets this backlash. It's a charter school. There are 322 students in this school, of which three are Black. 70% of the school 70% of the school is white, right? So it's not just Black and white. There are obviously other ethnicities within the school population. However, the principal is Japanese. And it's really interesting to me that he would even entertain these parents who want to bypass the curriculum set forth for the school just because it's Black history, because it's really American history, right? It's not like Black history is something different and the only way to pass this class is to, you know, put your fist up in Black power. You know, that's not how this works. It's American history, shit that you need to learn that they don't teach and all the time. Because let's be honest, if it's not Martin Luther King or Rosa Parks, it's usually not in the main history books, right? And it's something that needs to be taught anyway. But there are a lot of things that are left out, and the fact that he's Japanese American, I bring that up for this point only. So when I was at Northeast High School in Clarksville, Tennessee, my junior year, I was doing AP History, AP Chemistry, and AP English, right? And
show off.
Yes, exactly. You know, that's what I do, Sen. That's what I do. It's nothing. I don't know why they put me in AP Chemistry, by the way. I hate chemistry.
Yeah.
But I was in there.
Yeah.
It was all a whole bunch of international students in there, too. So
yeah.
Explain that. But in this history class, I remember we had to do a paper, and one of the things I did it on was the Japanese internment camps, which you don't hear about in World War II, the fact that America put the Japanese Americans in camps. And it's like, wait a minute. That's something that's left out of the history books when you talk about World War II. Because it's not, well, here's something bad we did. Well, guess what? You need to, because it's part of the history. It's not all roses.
Yeah, you're right. I think you do need to have that stuff in the history books. Here's what's interesting about this particular story in Utah. Charter schools are funded by who? The parents, right? So parents got to pay money. And so if you have some wealthy parents who are paying for these schools and paying for all the way the schools operate, that's why they have to listen to them. You wouldn't see that at a public school. You wouldn't see a public school principal going, hey, do y'all want to talk about this or no? You let us know. It's not going to happen in the public school system, right? Because that's funded by tax people. But these charter schools, that's why. And then you have some of these wealthy folks at these charter schools, and the fact there's only three Black students that go there. I'm curious to know if there were any non-Black parents that expressed concern and were upset, or was it just the three Black families that got together and like, look at this bullshit. Well, I think that's the problem with those type of principals over charter schools. You know, they have to listen to the people who are funding them. And so why would you even entertain that? Because to your point, it's just part of history. This is what happened.
Yeah.
And we know that in American history, a lot of stuff gets left out. You know, year after year after year, more stuff is getting left out. because people don't want to bring up the fact that we're not as star-spangled awesome as we've always claimed to be. But, you know, you take them, look for the money, follow the money trail. I don't see that ever happening in a public school system where the students and parents get a chance to opt out of that. Sex ed, I can totally see sex ed being something that gets you can opt out of.
Mm-hmm.
But just basic history, no.
Is sex ed a required course or is it an elective?
Watch, I haven't been in school in a long time, but I remember when I was a kid, I think when they start doing sex ed, parents could opt out their kid from being in it because they want to teach it to them instead. Because the school's going to normally say, hey, use a condom.
Yeah.
Right? Where parents are going to say, you wait until you fall in love, get married, and we spend $20,000 on that ceremony. Then you can go ahead and do all the stuff you've been seeing in rap videos that you've been wanting to do. But not till then, where the school is going to teach more about using protection.
Well, it's got to be in rap videos. Jesus, what do you have against hip-hop videos, man?
Well, I'm just saying, you look at all the different dances that come out and the little TikTok dances. Show me a rock one that all of a sudden people are like, yeah, that's the move I want to do. That's sexy and hot. There's no sexy, hot rock move. You know, but you watch them drop it and twerk and all those same things. Yeah, you're like, that tells me a whole lot.
And that's how stripping became an exercise.
Yeah.
Pole dancing.
Think of Axl Rose. When Axl Rose had the mic and he's doing that, no girl is like, look at the way he moves. I bet he could totally hit it. No. It was about him being the rocker and just who he was. But it wasn't like that move wasn't just like making people moist. It's just how he moved.
Where I bet you he can stir like motherfucking coffee.
Yeah. But you watch, you know, your Cardi B's, your Megan Thee Stallion, as I like to call her. You see those folks. No, I was like Megan the Trainor is what I meant to say. But Megan Thee Stallion, Cardi B, when you watch those moves, that's giving you some sexual thoughts. just put it out there. We're being honest, right? Are we not adults anymore? This is not an adult podcast.
Sure. I mean, it's not what pops into mind when I see those videos, but I got you.
That's what pops in my head when I see those videos. I'm just like,
I'm a married man. We don't have those thoughts.
That's right. When the ring goes on, it's like like Chelsea said, it's a mind erase.
Yeah, exactly. I forget everything else.
Yeah.
You know, something we won't forget anytime soon is this bullshit. Oh, well, hope maybe we will forget at some point in time. Gorilla Glue Girl, Tessica Brown. Oh, my God. So, hold on. Let me see, because when I check.
I'm sorry. Let's just start with the name. That tells me what I need to know right there. But go ahead. I'm sorry. Sorry, anyone listening, if you have a child named Tessica, from a recruiter standpoint, you did her a disservice. But whatever. Maybe that's a family name. But as soon as I heard Tessica and Gorilla Glue, I'm like, yeah, there you go.
Are you one of those people that judge applicants by their name?
No, I do not judge applicants by their name. No, okay. I do not do that.
Okay.
But do I think people will do that? Yes. I would never do that. You know, as a professional, as an HR professional, I don't do that. I don't teach my recruiters to do that. Mm-hmm. But I'm a realist because you got to think, some names tell something about the person.
Mm-hmm.
And so depending on who your hiring manager is, let's say that hiring manager is somebody in Utah who gives a lot of money to a charter school, doesn't want to hear about Black history. And then they get a resume that says Malik Johnson. They're going to be like, I'm going to call Tanner Smith first. That could be possible. I would never do that, but that could be possible. Well, I think I've told people that if they have a really ethnic first name, what they should do is put in parentheses how to pronounce it.
Mm.
Because that's the thing. It's like you don't want to call somebody and be like, hey, can I speak to this is Terrell with XYZ Company. I have a resume here. I don't know who applied. Because it's awkward. It's the most awkward thing to do, to call somebody, hey, can I speak to Ocho Chaco? And they know, they're going to be like, yeah, just call me John. Was Tessica in you and your wife's list of potential names?
Oh, hell no.
For your daughter? No?
Hell no.
No? You wouldn't have considered a Tessica?
First time I heard of Tessica was in this story. And apparently this girl ran out of, she needed to get her ponytail in right, wanted to get this thing done, and ran out of her regular hair glue and decided to use Gorilla Glue. So you've been caught up on this story. It's gone viral. It's, if you look at her now, let's just fast forward, over 600, I think almost 700,000 followers. She's verified. She's got the blue check. and she had a GoFundMe that in 5 days had over $23,000, right, for medical expenses. Now, we're recording this on Sunday. Friday, she just got the stuff taken out of her hair. And, of course, there are videos coming out now of people debunking the fact that she actually even used Gorilla Glue in the first place. Because, you know, there's stories up of her possibly suing Gorilla Glue because it doesn't say on there.
Not to put on your hair.
Not to put in your hair.
Gorilla Glue, there's nothing on there that says that's supposed to be on. It says don't put on your skin. If your hair is on your skin, to me, that's all you need. Like, why would you do that? And so I felt when this whole thing happened, I watched it. I read the story. I listened to her TikTok video. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't think Gorilla Glue owes her anything.
Nope.
And doesn't need to help her. That's all her bad. And this is, you just made a bad choice. You got to live with your decision, Tesca.
I don't understand what made her even think, okay, well, let's go ahead and let me try this. If it was that bad, take the ponytail off. It was an unrealistic ponytail anyway. Nope.
Look, we're in a fucking pandemic. Where are you going? We're in a pandemic. Girl, I'm going to look good tonight. I'm going to do, I got to get my hair just right. Where are you going? It's a pandemic. You know, so just calm the hell down. There's a whole lot of people walking around looking scruffy, you know, no haircuts. People haven't got their hair done in a while. And she's using these chemicals under the sink to try to get her hair just right.
That's like going, you know what? I don't have any mouthwash. Mr. Clean, I got some of that.
I got some Fabuloso. I just won't swallow it.
What makes this so dangerous is the fact that people see, if I do something stupid, then I can be famous, right? And so then we had the Tide Pod Challenge, and people are like, how could kids be so stupid? This is a 40-year-old woman who put Gorilla Glue in her hair, if she actually did. Mm-hmm. Then you can't be surprised when kids decide to bite into Tide Pods for the reactions and the likes. This is what social media has done, you know.
No, I don't blame social media. I blame one person. There's one person that's responsible for all of this, and they need to be held accountable.
Who?
Johnny Knoxville.
Ah, Jackass.
Jackass. Jackass became a show because there were people doing stupid shit and putting it on the internet, and then they picked it up, and now look at them. All became famous because of doing stupid things. So now that's what anybody can be TikTok famous. Anybody can be Instagram famous by doing some stupid stuff. And this girl did it, and it's playing to her advantage. But the other real winner that we're not talking about is the Gorilla Goo Company. I'm sure they're, like, killing. I'm wondering if they've seen a spike in sales on their product. Not for hair care, but just for other stuff. Like, shit, that's some good stuff.
You know, I thought about that because, you know, you think about the fact that you see ads and you go, it's not as good as advertised. And Gorilla Glue could literally just put out one. Gorilla Glue, we're as good as advertised. End of commercial. That's it. We're as good as advertised. You know, Gorilla Glue, when we say it, we stick to it.
Our product really works. Just don't put in your her the way Tesca says it. If anything, Gorilla Glue should reach out to Tesca and just give her a little contract. Hey, we're going to put you in a couple commercials. We want you to talk about how well our product worked, even for something it wasn't intended to do. I can't even wash it. I washed it 14 times and I got nothing. Washed. I'm going to start saying that. I'm going to go wash my hands and brush my hair. Look at this. Look at this, y'all. Look at this. It doesn't move. It doesn't move. Look at this. It doesn't move. Yeah. No sympathy for her whatsoever. Sucks at what you're going through, but you're too grown. If she was a 13-year-old girl trying to plan for school pictures and did that,
yeah,
I'd say, hey, y'all got to try to help this little girl out. You're 41 and you did this stupid shit. Nope.
Gorilla Glue. That's it. That's the commercial. Gorilla glue.
Gorilla glue. Yes. No. Gorilla glue. You can't even wash it.
Gorilla glue. Her to stay. Yeah. Oh, shit. Let's get the hell out of here before Gorilla Glue gets us stuck. So what you drinking today?
Well, since the roads are iced up and I get a chance to go pick up anything, I'm good old-fashioned H2O. It's all I have in the house, probably until I can get on the road on Tuesday. So I'm going to be downing a lot of water in the next, 24 hours.
Well, I mean, you've also lived in places where, this inclement weather was the norm. So you know how to maneuver around this.
Well, I do. When I lived in Nebraska, this would be nothing. You know, 19 degrees in Nebraska, 9 degrees. I'm like, yeah, I've done that. I still went to the bars. We all hung out. The difference is in where my condo is, the streets around there, nothing's been treated on those. Mm. There's no salt put down or anything. So those are just sheets of ice. Now, if you can make it from there to the main road, then you're going to be okay. It's still a little bit dangerous, but it's just not worth it.
Man, put on your ice skates, skate to the front, call an Uber. Exactly. Come on, man. You got to improvise.
Call an Uber. That'd be the most jacked up thing. Hey, it's dangerous out there. Can you come pick me up? Because I almost ordered a pizza because I don't really have any food. And I was going to, I got some canned goods and that's really about it.
I'll meet you at the front of the complex.
I was going to order a pizza. I'm like, well, that'd be an asshole move.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm got a little bit of this small batch left, so.
Yeah, just a swallow.
Yeah, and I don't even have my glass. I'm doing it straight from the bottle. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Hey, make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, at RGRT Pod.
Yes, leave a comment. Send us some of your random thoughts, some of your bullshit, and we'll talk about it on the show.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers. From the bottle. Bro.
Take it to the head.
Yeah, those college days are over.
you should have had like a little glass of water to help you wash it down.
I got a whole bottle.
Yeah. You just wash that down with a swallow of water.
I got a whole bottle right here.